From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. If you want to check it out in the Bibles in the chairs, it's on page 1173. Can I just say that when I read this through yesterday in preparation for this morning, I was amazed again at what Paul has to say about our plan of salvation and God's timing. Absolutely amazing. Hope you agree with me as you hear Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Got a few weeks before I go into the vast unknown that's called Eastbourne. And that gives me an opportunity to open up the book of Ephesians for a few weeks, just to dip in and pick out some of the treasures, some of the many treasures that are in the book of Ephesians. The letter, of course, was written by St. Paul. The church at Ephesus was also planted by him during one of his missionary trips, and he was responsible for appointing Pastor Tim, who took over the leadership of that church in Ephesus. It's worth noting that you'll be aware that there are many different letters in the New Testament. Many of them are written because the church in the various areas are experiencing suffering. Some of the letters are particularly written because there's some problem within the church. And the writer of the letter, often Paul, is writing to help them work through these particular difficulties. But not so the letter to the church at Ephesus. There were no such problems. I guess, in a sense, the church at Ephesus was a kind of a jewel in St. Paul's eye. And he was writing to the church, really, to encourage them more than anything else. He wanted them to live up to their calling, the calling of following the Lord Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, I was in Lark in the Park talking about our identity. And as kind of George has kind of hinted, Ephesians 1 says quite a lot about our identity. It says in verse 3 that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, that we're holy, blameless, and covered with Christ's love. We're adopted as God's children. Our sins are taken away and we are truly forgiven. We will be brought under Christ's headship, it tells us. And we're marked people. That's normally sort of a bad thing, you're marked out. But this is a good thing because we're marked as belonging to God. And these things were true for the church at Ephesus, and they're true for us today. The language needs a little bit of unpacking. We haven't got time to do that this morning with all these things. We just have to accept that these are promises, not just for a church that was set up something like 2,000 years ago, but they're promises that run through time. The particular verse that I do want to focus on this morning is verse 5. I want us to think a little bit about what it is to be an adopted family, a part of an adopted family, and what it is to be family together. That's the heart of what I want us to think about this morning. Last week, I offered some childlike wisdom on the subject of heaven. I've got some more this morning on the subject of families. Dear God, it rained for our whole holiday, and is my father mad? He said some things about you that people are not supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him anyway. Signed, your friend, but I'm not going to tell you who I am. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm going to fix my brother. One more. Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family and I can't do it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. By faith, we're all part of the family. In fact, the whole Bible really is a story in different ways talking about the development of family. The ultimate end of the Bible was a family totally worshiping God, is a family worshiping God in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, love the brotherhood of believers. I'm not too happy with brotherhood these days, as some of us are not, but I particularly like the Message version, which says quite succinctly, love your spiritual family. And if you want a caption for our thinking this morning, that is probably it. Love your spiritual family. The reality is that our own individual families, those that have brought us up, those that we live with, etc., unless they're part of the Christian faith, the reality is, sadly, they will not always be with us. But the other side of the coin is that our spiritual family will always be with us. It's part of being Christ-like. Jesus wants us to live together in harmony. And it's a practice now for the ultimate that is in heaven. George Burns, yesterday, sort of American comedian, once said that happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. When it comes to heaven, I guess the spiritual family will be very close. So be careful. Be careful how you treat the one you're sitting near today. Because it may be, it just may be, that you have to spend eternity with them. So be kind to them. Love them, as we're asked to do. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21 says, "Whoever loves God must also love his brother and his sister." The church is a family. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a club. We talk about going to church, and that's the easy way to express where we're going. But the reality is church is relational. Church is about being in relation, clearly to God, but also with our brothers and sisters. And I want to talk about four levels of church family life. And the first level is that of membership. I'm not specifically talking about signing up to be a member of SBC. I'm thinking of it more in a generic way. However, if any of you are moved to think further about membership of SBC, that would be brilliant. But it's more about the generality of being a member of Christ's church. Ephesians chapter 2, which we'll pop into next week, verse 19 says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." The Christian life is not just a matter of believing, but it's a matter of believing and belonging. When you were born, you automatically became part of the human family. But you have to choose to be part of God's spiritual family, the church. Some people say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to belong to any church." Well, that's rather like saying, I'm a footballer, but I don't want to play for any particular team. God meant us to be together as a family. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "Each member belongs to all the others." Just think about that for a moment. It's not we meet with other people. We actually belong to other people because in Christ we are his body. That's the expression that he used. That we are in him, and therefore we belong to each other. We're all equally part of the body of Christ. And baptism is an important way of into membership of that body of Christ. I'm absolutely thrilled that my penultimate Sunday involves a baptism. We've had to juggle around with the times for different reasons, and I apologize for that. But I'm just thrilled that Jackie's here this morning. Heather's not here this morning, but I'm just so thrilled that they want to be obedient to the way of Jesus. And if there are others, even at this last minute, you will know my style, that on the day, there'll be an invitation if people want to consider baptism. It's never too late to want to follow in the steps of Jesus, to be baptized, to be part, to enter into the body of Christ, which is the church. So the first level, the entry level, if you like, is membership. The second level of being part of the spiritual family is what we might call friendship. We were created in God's image, made for relationships. Acts 2:44 tells us that all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. Now we have to view that through 21st century eyes, but there is still that mandate that we should be sharing together, whatever that means in our own individual situations. Friendships are developed by meeting together. You can't say, I'm really friendly with this person in the church, if you never ever spend time with them. Friendship automatically means that you do or you want to spend time with another person. And you can't develop those friendships without sharing together. And the more frequently that we meet together, the closer that we will be as a fellowship. The Bible gives some clues as to what we should be sharing when we meet together. It suggests in Proverbs that we should share our experiences. The reference to Proverbs 17:17 says, just as iron sharpens iron, in the context of coming together and sparking off of each other. We don't need to buy the T-shirt every time, because some people have already bought the T-shirt and they can help us. Older folk particularly, but not only older folk, have an enormous store of wisdom. They have bags and bags of experience that should be given, they are given, should be received within the body of Christ. Bible also tells us that we should share our homes. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It doesn't say you've got to make sure that your house is featured in Homes and Gardens. It doesn't say that when you're a cordon bleu cook, you can invite people around for a meal. It says, basically, share what you've got. And if you haven't got a lot, then you've not got a lot to share. But if you're blessed in other ways with space or just a friendly heart, then God will use those things in ways of being hospitable. Small groups are an important part of this as well, coming together within small groups. The home groups that we have in this church. We would love to see more and more people coming into the existing home groups. We would love to see groups splitting off because the groups are getting too large. That is another way of coming together, sharing some intimacy. The hosts of the home groups are being hospitable. They're inviting you in to their own homes. And the third thing the Bible tells us is that we're to share our problems. We need to be discerning in who we share our problems with and how we share them. But it is quite clear from Galatians 6:2, for example, which says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. Now that requires someone to open up, and it requires someone to come alongside. Part of this we see in home groups. But it would be great if more and more people had that confidence to know that they could go to one or a small number of people and truly be able to be totally open, totally honest, and know that it would be received in love, and that God's wisdom would enter into that situation. Friendship level. The third level we're going to call the partnership level. Partnership is about playing our part. We've got a contribution to make. Partners in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus. This is going to really surprise you, but God didn't actually bring you to SBC to enjoy the frontage and to enjoy the architecture of the church roof. Now, that wasn't in his mind when he brought us together, I think. He brought us together to be partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He called us to serve. On 58 occasions in the New Testament, the expression with one another is used. So when we come, when we worship together, we're with one another. But it doesn't end there. Because in the way that that expression is used in the New Testament, it tells us that we should serve one another, that we should love one another, that we should pray with one another. And the Bible says we should put up with one another. But how do we find what part we're expected to play? Quite honestly, that's God's business. We just have to follow. We just have to seek his bidding. Ephesians 4:16 says, From him, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it begins with from him, and then at the end there it says, as each part does its work. We are all part, equally part of God's body, of Christ's body. And it is in working together that we will achieve even more than we are at present. And then the last one, the last level is what we might call kinship. True family living means your closest relationships, your closest family. It occurs when you commit everything. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another. And the expression that's used in Romans 12 there is koinonia, which is the Greek word for fellowship. But the extent of that koinonia, that fellowship, it's of dealing with other people as we would receive Christ himself. I grew up in Leicestershire, praise the Lord, and not too far from where we lived, there was a Cistercian abbey, Mount St. Bernard's. And I used to go there, but we went just a short while ago, didn't we? Just revisited old times. But the thing about the Cistercians is if someone knocks at the door, what they say is that the visitor will be received as if it was Jesus himself going through the doors. And I think that's a lovely thing. Perhaps that's something we could sort of have a takeaway this week. Take it home with us. And just think, whoever rings your doorbell or bangs on the glass or whatever it is, just whoever it is, you know, the person we don't want to see because he wants to flog us something we don't want, or whatever it is, just think, the person who rings your doorbell this week, to receive them as if it was Jesus himself knocking on the door. Who knows? Who knows what opportunity that might present for us? If I asked you to repeat John 3:16, there's a good chance that all of you would be able to do that. But probably only some of you would be able to repeat to me 1 John 3:16. But that's another very important verse, because this is what it says. We know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, we can't say it any more definite than that, can we? We talk about sacrificial giving and living with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The kinship level, the level that has to be as deep as it gets. Nobody will say on their deathbed, bring me my gold watch, bring me my certificates that say I've got a PhD in this or that, or a BA in this, or I've got 17 A levels. But what people will say is, can I see my family? If you're at the membership level, you belong, but that's about it, then I encourage you to think about moving on. Membership level's okay, but I encourage you to move up to the level of friendship, where you know more and more of the family gathered here, and maybe other Christian families too. If you're at the friendship level, then I can only encourage you to move up. To move up into partnership, to realize that God has gifted you in a whole variety of ways and called you to be in a situation where you can both receive and help other people. And if you're at the partnership level in your understanding of being church, then I encourage you to push it even further to the kinship level, where you would be prepared to give your life for those in the church. What we want people to say is that SBC is the place where they love each other. And that means that God will receive the glory from his people, and other people will know that God is in this place, and this place is this place and that place where you go. We're well down the line, folks. I make no judgment. That's not my business at all. But we can always go even further and step up in his service and as being part of his family. In a moment or two, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate many things, but especially we're going to celebrate that the whole reason that we're brought together, the whole reason that we can talk about going forward, being in heaven together, is because of all that Jesus did through his life and ministry. And we remember particularly on the table that his death, his forgiveness, and his promises of life everlasting became a reality when Jesus rose from that tomb. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this church which has blessed us in many ways, and for some folk over many years. And we just thank you that it is what it is. And we thank you that it's relational, that it's built up of people who are not preoccupied by icons and the structure, but are more concerned about your living presence. Celebrating here and moving out into the different communities where we live and work. But at the same time, as we thank you for all that we know, we our friends, our fellow believers, the joy of freedom and worship. At the same time, Lord, we want to be more. We want you to receive glory through this. And we would ask that you would use us in your service as partners, so that we, through our love together and through our love of people outside, might draw people closer to you by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the table, we're going to sing "Thank You for the Cross, Lord."